Today is Daf Peches. We're discussing the situation where, well, the Mishnah that we had yesterday, the guy sends his kid to the shop, and the shopkeeper sends back
a pach shemen.
That's why it's Daf Peches, pach shemen. Yeah, he sends back a jug of oil, together with some change. So we had the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, the idea is that the father is only telling. No, he was there. No, Avi will move in. Yes, sir. So the union was that the Chachamim said that when the guy sends his son to the shop, it's not because he wants the shopkeeper to give him the thing that he's buying and the change and everything. It's just to let him know that he's putting in an order. And he should send it with a normal delivery man. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Almanaskein Shlocha, the father sent him that intending that the kid should bring back the stuff, and therefore if it got broken or lost or spilled on the way, it's the father's problem. So that was a basic argument we had between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And we concluded yesterday that the basis of the argument was, so we had two cases. So we say one was with the oil. That was the argument with the oil and the change. And then we had the second argument, which the Mishnah continued to argue about what happens if you broke the jug. And we said, there must be some more space over here. And he said, is there another chair around that we can put under the table? So the second case to do with when he breaks the bottle, so we had a few goes at what does that mean, and we concluded that we're talking about where the father sent a bottle with the kid to get the oil poured into, but what happened was, so we said if it was just straight out, the father sent the bottle with the kid, and then the kid ended up breaking it, then it's the father's fault. So you wouldn't even need to talk about anything. Yeah, that's what we call a veda midas. What was the problem? Problem was that the shopkeeper, good man, the shopkeeper took the bottle to use it to measure for somebody else. Yeah, so he took Reuven's bottle that he sent with his kid, Falu. Yeah, his son is following. Yeah. And then he used it for Shimon. Shimon happened to be in the shop, and the shopkeeper takes this kid's bottle and says, "Give me the bottle a second. I'm going to pour out for the other customer." Yeah, and then at that point the bottle broke. So once that happens, the argument is when someone borrows something without asking for it, he's a shoyel, but a shoyel shaloi midas. When you borrow something without asking, so we're using the term borrowing loosely here. So that's the argument. According to the Chachamim, he is a gazlan, and therefore, at that point, even though he gave it back to the kid, he gazlaned it. So therefore, it's his responsibility now, and therefore he's chayev if it breaks. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, he is just a normal borrower, and he put it back where he put it back in the kid's bag or whatever. Then that's it. He doesn't have to. He's finished borrowing it, and it's not his responsibility anymore. Okay, so that was what we said after we got to yesterday. So we're on Peches Amud Aleph, 3, 6, 7, 8 lines on the top. Gufa. Towards the end of the line, it says Gufa. So we mentioned Derech Agav yesterday that we brought the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Amar Shmuel Hanoto Kli Min HaUmon LeVakrei." A person goes to a shop. Or to a manufacturer, a tradesman who makes things, yeah? So he goes to the glassblowers, thing in Ballarat or something, where you can go and buy these old things, yeah? And he goes in there, and he picks up a piece of glass, the schoira, in the shop, to look at. He wants to see whether he wants to buy it or not. V'nenas biyodai. While it was in his hands, some disaster happened, and he dropped it. And it's broken. Says Shmuel Chayiv. Yeah, if you pick it up and you broke it, consider it sold. That's Shmuel's statement. So, and then the conclusion was everyone agrees with that. Yeah, and therefore there's no problem. So now we're going to discuss this further. Vahani Mili, the Gemara now embellishes that statement and says, when is it so? Dekitzi Domeha, when the money is known. In other words, the guy knows what the price is. No, he's just picking it up to check if he's happy with this type of piece of glass. Yeah, so what does that show? That means that really, because he knows the price, when he picked it up, his intention was a sort of a pseudo-kinyan, if you like. He already knows the price, and therefore he knows that he's happy with the price, and he's just making sure that this is the sort of thing he wants to buy. So therefore, when he broke it, he has to pay for it. Nowadays, of course, they stick the price on the bottom of the glass thingos, and you have to pick it up just to find out what the price is. But that's maybe a different situation. That wouldn't be kitzid the mehel until he turns it over. Okay, then we have a story. Ahu Gavra, there was a person, the Olabe Tavcha. He came to the butcher. This wasn't even a kli in the glass house. This was a butcher. He came to the butcher. Agba Atma de Bisra. He picked up a leg of meat. A leg of cow, and Bahadei Deka Agba, while he was lifting it and looking at it and inspecting it, Asa Parsha, Mirma Minei, came a horseman riding along and grabbed it out of his hand. You couldn't make this up. Yeah? He's standing in the butcher shop holding the meat. Well, it's a nice meat, whatever. Came along a guy on a horse, grabs the meat, and rides off into the sunset.
The horse must have fitted through the door.
No, maybe it was, no, it was the street vendors. It was the butcher's market, yeah. In the Machane Yehuda, yeah. There's also the Kamidir of Yemar. So the Balha stall, her market stall, wanted to get the money off the guy who was holding it when it got dispatched. So he took him to Rabbi Yemar, to Din Torah. Chivil Ishlumi Dameha. And Rabbi Yemar said, yes, the guy who was holding it to inspect it has to pay. Like we said, just like when you pick up the glass ornament. Yeah, and you were inspecting it, and you just fell, and you broke it. You have to pay for it. You were picking up a piece of meat. Once it's in your hands, it's like you bought it. Yeah, you've taken accountability for it. And now, even though it's an onus that it got stolen from you, bad luck for you. You got to pay the owner. Again, this is when the price is known. Because when the price is known, then what we're saying is that when he picks it up, he's really intending that he's going to buy it unless something goes wrong. So therefore, it's like he made a kinyan to buy it, so now it's in his possession that something happened to it. Then we had Ahu Gavra. This is a good story. There was a bloke to Icy Car in the Pumnara. He brought pumpkins to Pumnara as a place. So he was a pumpkin farmer. He brings his wagon of pumpkins to Pumnara. Then Osa Kuli Alma. Everybody came, and instead of lining up nicely, everybody came and just started pulling pumpkins off the wagon. Shokul Kara Kara. Everyone took pumpkins. To, you know, whatever, like they just descended on him. They thought there was chocolate biscuits inside. So he wasn't happy with this approach because he thought everyone's coming and taking pumpkins. Okay, maybe they'll pay for it, maybe they won't. They're coming and grabbing, but how am I going to know who took a pumpkin that I can go and
claim my money?
Everyone's just grabbing. This isn't the way to conduct a business. So he said, Harehen Mugdok Nashamai. He made an announcement, freeze. All of these pumpkins are hektish. So now, I mean, so these people weren't necessarily ganovim. They were just wild. They were grabbing pumpkins. But he says it's hektish. Now, if it's hektish, they can't eat the pumpkins anyway. Yeah? Why did he say that? Because he wants to stop them from stealing his pumpkins or taking the pumpkins and leaving him without knowing what to do about it. So he just said, forget it. It's all hektish. If you're gonna behave like that, I'm making the whole thing hektish. No one's getting any pumpkins. Yeah? So now the question is, is it hektish or it's not hektish? There's also the Kamid of Kahana. So then, when the dust settled, they all came, each man with his pumpkin, they all came into Rav Kahana's Bezdin, and they said, what's with the pumpkins? So he said to them, Ein Adam Makdish Dovah Shena Shaloi.
You can't, with the Hagbah, they were kind of?
Well, like we said, that you walk into a shop, and you're looking at something, and you're holding it in your hand, you took it to look at, that's already the kinyan. So each person, when they took their pumpkin off the wagon, their intention was to buy it. They were just inspecting the pumpkins, and therefore they were koina. So just like we say that if something would happen to it, yeah, if the horseman would come riding and stealing it, or if it was a glass pumpkin and it broke, we would say it's the responsibility of the prospective buyer, and it's his problem. You picked it up, then you consider it bought, and now you have to pay for it. So same thing over here. As soon as they all picked them up, they were koina those pumpkins. So when he said, oh, I'm making it hektish, it's not his anymore. Yeah. You can't make it hektish if it's not yours. So he said, it's not hektish, unhektish, so that people can keep their pumpkins. They still have to pay for it if they haven't yet, but he can't say it's hektish, you have to give them all back. The hani mili hu dekitsu demayu, again, same rule, that only works if the price is known, because then we say that when they picked it up, the intention was to buy. Avaloi kitsu demayu, but if the price wasn't known, b'shus marayu kaimi, they were still in the possession of the seller, b'shapir aktish, and then when he said it's hektish, and therefore there's not, they can't eat it, they have to give him back, and they'll give it to hektish. Okay, so that is a few nice stories. Tana Rabbanu learned in a brisa, halakeyach yorak bin ashuk, someone buys vegetables in the market, ubira v'hiniach, on the side he says, I think he repeats himself, yeah, ubira v'hiniach, he picks it up, he puts it down, he picks up another one, like, you know, you go to the vegetable store, so you're looking for a nice tomato, so you pick one up, no, it's no good, put it down. So, afilu kol hayom kulay, even if you spend the whole day there doing that, because you obviously got nothing else to do with your time.
Believe me, there's plenty of people who do that all day long.
They do that in Rishon also? You sell tomatoes?
No, but they find what to do.
Uh-huh. Srogim. They pick it up, they put it down. They look at the herring. The herring, they try another one, they put it down. They want to do a taste. Loi kana. First they taste it, and then they take a bite out of it. They say, no, I don't like that one. They put it back, and they take another one.
You know what? If it wasn't true,
it'd be fine. Oh, it's not funny?
It's
okay.
True.
Okay, so it's not funny. Loi kana. So in that case, this is not the case of the guy who picked it up intending to buy it, and he was just doing a last-minute inspection. This is a guy who's a nudnik. He's not intending to buy nothing. He's picking it up, putting it down, picking it up, putting it down all day long. Yeah, it's like kana, he's not koina. The loin is chayav b'meiser. Not only to such an extent that we say he's not koina, that he doesn't have to take meiser from it. Yeah, so you can put it back and leave it as unmeisered. It's the mai maybe. He doesn't know whether the meiser has been taken, or even if he knows the meiser hasn't been taken. It's not his responsibility to worry about meiser, because it's not his. He's just inspecting in the shop. If Gomra believably knoisoi, but if he was thinking in his mind he's going to buy it, you know, it means unless something goes horribly wrong, when he picks it up, his intention is to buy it, then Kana, then at that point, it's like all the other ones we've been talking about, that when you pick it up thinking you're going to buy it, then it is yours, then you are Kana. Once he's Kana and is Chayav b'meiser, then he has to pay meiser, because he's now the owner, and so he's obligated to take meiser out of this vegetables that he's picking up in the market. So what is he? And then he changed his mind, like, you know, all good nudniks. So now he decides. First, so he decided to buy it. He picks it up. It becomes chayav in meiser, and then he goes, "Nah, change my mind." Is lahachzira efshar? He can't return it then. Once it's been chayavized in meiser, you cannot return it anymore. Shekvan is chayav b'meiser. So he can't just put it back, because now it's mechuyav b'meiser. All the rest of it is not mechuyav, is demai, whatever. He has the chayav in meiser there. If he puts it back, then he's putting back something that has meiser needs to be taken out of. Yeah. So the seller goes, hang on a second, you picked up a whole tomato, and now I have to take off a tenth of it from meiser, and you're putting back 9/10 of the tomato that you took. That's no good. You can't just put it back and walk away. La astra yefshar. So why can't, and he can't just take off the meister. Let's say he'll cut off, so to just put it back and leave it without taking the meister, he can't do. We're talking about here, we're going to say in a minute, we're talking here about a chaver. A chaver doesn't leave something that's not mesukin. So if there's a doubt whether it needs meister or not, then he has to take the meister. So he can't just put it back and leave it unmeistered. Yeah. What will he do? You'll tell me, okay, he'll cut off a tenth of the tomato and make that meister and put the 9/10 back. Is Efshar? He can't do that either. It's a problem of Chisa B'Dobim, because then he's ripping off the seller. Picks up a tomato and puts back 9/10 of a tomato. It's okay, so what does he have to do? Ma'asroi, he has to take off the Meiser Taka, and he puts back 9/10 of a tomato. Perhaps not a good example. Let's say he picked up 10 tomatoes and he puts back 9, because I don't think 9/10 of a tomato will go very far. Yeah, so he puts back 9/10, so it's not ruined, the stuff that he's putting back. He picked up 10 and put back 9. Noisin le demei meiser. He has to pay, even though he's not buying the tomato, he has to pay the owner for the one that he took meister from.
No, for the whole 10, yeah?
No, he puts back 9. He just changed his mind. He doesn't want to buy it. So he puts back 9. He has to pay for the 10th one, which has become meister. Okay, Fred the Gemara, that's all very nice. That's a bryce. Fred the Gemara, Otto Mishum de Gar Baliba Liknais Kana. What do you mean, Gomar Baliba Liknais? Let's get this right. Because he was thinking that he's going to buy it, just because he was thinking that's a Kenyan, when it's Chayab and Meister to such an extent that he has to take Meister from it. What does that mean? As Amar Rav Hayisha, Hachab Yerushalayim Maskinan. Here we're talking about Yerushalayim. Till now we're talking about under the sort and mention. Now we're talking about Yerushalayim. So when he has a fruit that is a suffix, it's demai. We don't know where the mice is taken. So he's not going to put something back. Once it was in his hand, he doesn't put it back where there's still a doubt on whether mice needs to be taken or not. Yeah? And therefore, he, even though he only thought about it in his mind, there's another point here about Yerushalayim. What's a Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is that when he decided to buy it, then it's like his thoughts are his bond, yeah? That he's going to stick to what he was, he's going to stick to his decision, even if he changes his mind. Kigoyin Rav Safra, like the famous story of Rav Safra, the Kiyim Benavshe Dover Emes Bolvavoy, that he fulfilled the Pasuk with Dover Emes Bolvavoy, that he was, he spoke the truth according to what was in his heart. There was the story with Rav Safra was, he was in the middle of Shema, he was standing in the market in Machane Yehuda, and he started saying Shema, as you do, and came along the buyers, and they said, how much is this? And he said, no. So the guy thought, and the guy offered him, 100 shekels, says, no. So the guy thought, what is he saying, no, because it's not enough. So he says, okay, 200 shekel. And meanwhile, till he gets to the end of Shema with the no's, it's 500 shekel. So at the end, he finished Shema. So the guy says, well, Rav Safra told him, I was happy to take the first 100 shekel that you offered me, and the no was because I was in the middle of Shema, not because I wanted more money. And because I was really willing to give you for that price, I'm going to give you still for that price. Even though the other guy didn't even know that he was willing to. So that's called Dever Emes Bolvavoy, that his honesty in his heart, that even though the other person wouldn't know that he's overcharging him. Okay, so that's the way, so a person is Yerushalayim, when he agrees to something in his mind, he sticks to it. So when a guy thinks, I'm going to buy it, yeah, so in his mind, it's like his decision, he doesn't go back on his word, even though he didn't tell anybody his word's only in his heart. He doesn't go back on his word. So he decided to buy it, he's going to take Meister from it, he's not going to leave it Tevel or Demai or Unmesukim, yeah, even though the seller doesn't know that, and therefore, he says to the seller, you know what, I was planning to buy this when I picked it up, therefore I'm going to take the Meister, and here's some money as compensation. So that's the appropriate behavior to have. Okay, so to Mishnah Vayter, a Sitoin. Sitoin, the Rashbam. Well, it's very interesting because the Rashbam says. No, it wasn't the Rashbam. Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Rashbam says that Sitoin. Yeah, he's a wholesaler, but Rashbam says that Sitoin means wheat in Greek. Anybody speak Greek over here?
No.
I never knew that Sitoin means wheat. Sitoin is gluten. Gluten, Sitoin. You have Sitoin free stuff over there? Okay, anyway, so why is the guy called a wheat? Because he buys lots of wheat together, and he's a wholesaler. What it means is that he gathers from all the farmers, so lots of people sell to him.
So he deals in large quantities.
He deals in large quantities, and he puts it all in the shelves or whatever, and people come and buy. Yeah, so he's the aggregator. So he takes all the stuff. Let's say he's selling wine and oil and whatever, and he uses kalim to pour out the wine and the oil to measure out. And also with weights. So someone says, I want to buy a pound of chocolate biscuits. So he has a weight that's a pound. Yeah? And he puts it on one side of the scale, and he puts the chocolate biscuits on the other side of the scale, and he weighs out the pound. So he has his measures, all of his different things he uses for measuring. So the Mishnah says, Mekaneach midosav echel eshleshim yom. So this is basically, he's really a retailer, not a wholesaler. He buys from many people and he sells it.
Well, Rashi says he sells to small shops.
Yeah, okay. Point taken. And he sells it to small shops, so he's a wholesaler. Okay. So when he's going to measure out to the small shopkeepers, he has to clean his measurements once every 30 days. Because what happens is things get stuck to the measures, yeah, and it becomes inaccurate. So he's going to make sure he cleans it every 30 days. So Balabais, if you're only a one-off Balabais selling once upon a time something, Echad Shnemas HaChodesh, it's good enough to clean it only once a year because you don't use it that much. Yeah, so it's not going to get so much accumulation of stuck gunk on it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, punkt verkehrt. that the guy who's selling all the time, because he's selling all the time, things don't get stuck on it. So therefore, it's not stuck on, you don't have to clean it so often. Masha'inkin, if you only sell rarely, so in between, you get dried up stuff gunked on to it.
Depends on what product.
We're going to say in a minute, we're talking about liquid things. Obviously, we're talking about a type of thing that could get stuck on. If it's something that Bechal doesn't stick, then there's nothing to talk about. Yeah, so Shemuel says the opposite, and it's based on the practicalities of what's more likely to stick, and to make sure that your measurements are fair and just and nice and good. Chenveni, the shopkeeper himself. So we talked about. So the sitan is, what did you tell me? The wholesaler. The balabais is the balabais.
Sitanot means wholesaler.
Okay, there's a wholesaler.
The modern Ivris anyway.
Okay, good. So the whole. So that was Ivris. So that was the wholesaler. And then the balabai. So what about a chenveni? So the chenveni is you, right?
The small shopkeeper.
So he buys from the wholesaler and sells to the public. That's the chenveni, yeah? Mekanech midoist pamayim b'shabbos. He has to clean it twice a week. So it's all based on the same idea. How often do you have to clean it to make it fair? Umamcha mishkaloisov. So we talk about midois. Midois is for measuring. So that would be like a measuring cup. And mishkal is the weights. His mamcha has to wipe. Rashbam says mamcha comes from the word mocha shem dima me'al kolponim, to wipe tears away. So he has to wipe down his weights, pamachas b'shabbos, once a week. The actual scales he has to clean every time. Presumably you put stuff on the scales and a little bit gets left every time. So if you don't clean it, that means when a guy says, I'm buying a pound of chocolate biscuits, you got a bit of gunk left from the previous guy and you're not getting a full pound. So he's got to clean it after every sale, every weight, so every weight.
I'd be able to tell.
Sorry?
I'd be able to tell.
You'll be able to tell. Yeah, but everybody else would be in trouble. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Medvar Amorim Belach. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says this is talking about where it's liquid. Avol B'yavish, and it's if it's dry, it doesn't stick on, so therefore you don't have to do anything. Turn the page. V'chayav l'achriya l'itefach. V'chal, he has to give him a, what's called a hachra. Hachra means an extra bit, if you like, to weigh it down a bit more. Hachra literally means to weigh down. So you have to put an extra bit on, just to be sure, tefach. You got to put on an extra...
There's a tefach distance between where the weights are and where the meat is. Because it's a scale, right? It's a big scale.
Yeah. So he's got to make it go down. Yeah, a tefach. That's right. So Moshe's explaining how are you measuring weight by a tefach? Is it because the scale goes down... A tefach. So that's you have to outweigh it just to make sure you're not cheating. You have to be a little bit overboard. If they made a deal, well, we're going to say soon that there's different minhagim in different places, the custom is different, but if he's in a situation where the transaction is agreed to be ayin ba'ayin, that means exactly. 1 pound is exactly 1 pound. There's no throw in a bit extra here and there. It's still nice to make gerumim. Even in that case, you got to give him gerumim. Is also a lashon of achra, the Rashbam says, like agroma and shchita. It means you still got to give him something extra. There's no such thing that you can just make it exactly what you said. And how much you have to give? The minimum is echeli asara bilach, 1/10. We're going to say it's not 1/10. It's 1/10 of a tenth. We'll see the gemara in a second. What's really 1%? The echeli eshrim biyovesh 1/20 in dry. We'll see exactly what that means. If the custom is to use small containers for measurement, then you shouldn't use a big one, because if you use a big one, you're only going to get one hachra. You're only going to get one extra bit thrown in, and therefore it's not fair on the buyer. If the custom is to use a big measurement, so remember that there's only one extra bit thrown in per measurement. So the bigger the measurement, the lower percentage you have to throw in. Yeah, so therefore, if the customer is to use a big one, and that's using small ones, then the seller is getting ripped off, because he has to give an extra bit on each time he does it. Yeah, is la'yom bedaka. Limchok la'yigdosh, if the general business practice is in the custom in the place, when you say, I'm giving you a cup that you flatten out the cups. Of course, when you pour in a cup of something, you can make it heaped or you can make it flat. Yeah. So he says, if the custom is that it's flat, don't make it heaped, because then you're cheating the seller. And the ligdosh, if the custom is that when you buy a cup of something, you get it heaped, lo yimchek, you can't flatten it, because then it's cheating the buyer. Okay, so these are all sort of common sense things. How do I know that there's a concept of giving, that you must give a hachreya? You have to give a hachreya, a tefach. Like we said in the Mishnah, you have to weigh it down by a tefach. The pasuk says, even shleim of a tzedek. It talks about measurements. It says you should have a stone. That means a measuring stone, complete but tzedek. So what's tzedek adding over here? Evan Shleimo, complete weight. What does he say? Tzedek? Tzadek mishalcha. Be a tzadik from your own stuff, v'tenloy, and give him extra. Fredi Gumari Hachi, if it's a minute deraisa, that you have to measure out the weights extra on the weight. On this, once it's on the scale, you have to put down extra. Is a masefa? How does an expert work? What does that mean? That means when he was weighing it, I probably didn't explain it properly. There's two possibilities over here. Either when it's on the scale, you make the scale go down a tefach, or on the scale you go exactly, and you take it off the scale, and when you're packaging, you just chuck in an extra bit. Yeah, so it's not by weight; it's just by here's a bit extra. Yeah, so if the adding on to the weight when you're weighing it is min hatoira, so how come it says how you shekel ayin ba ayin is nagirum, that if you weighed it mamish exactly to the dot, then you have to just chuck in some little bit extra after that. Yachra deraisa, if it's min hatoira, that when you're weighing, you have to weigh, you have to make the scale go down. As hecha yoyv l'yayin b'yayin, how can you weigh it exactly to the point? We just said it's min hatoira that you have to add extra. Ella, we're not talking about min hatoira. Reisha b'makim shenogu. This whole thing about making it go down a tefach when you have it on the scales, that is only if that's the custom, if that's the business practice in that place, then that's what you have to do. The chiyit ma de'Reish Lakish ha'seifet. My Reish Lakish's whole minohani mili statement was going on the next part. The next part was ha'ya shoykel le'ayin ba'ayin. If he's weighing it to the dot, noisan le'girumim, you have to give him a bit extra. So not in the weight, but you chuck it into the bag when he's about to walk out of the store. And then that, the Gemara asks, minohani mili, where do we get that from?
Why can't you do it while it's on the scale?
You could, but you didn't. So it all depends on what the business practice is. If you did the scale to the dot, then you just chuck in a bit extra in the bag. Is Omar Reish Lakish? How do I know you have to do that? The Omar Kra, v'tzedek, tzedek meshachah v'tenle. That's the puzzle. Okay. The Kama Girumin, how much is this extra bit? If you don't do it on the weight, then what do you do? Is Omar Rav Abba Bar Mamal, Omar Rav, Echad me asara belitra belach la asara litrin. 1/10 of a liter, when we're talking about liquid measure, 1/10 of a liter for 10 liters. I don't think a liter here means a liter like our liters, but sounds good. Whatever, which is 1%. That means if you're selling 10, you give him 1/10 of a liter. So that's 1 out of 100.
Is it a tenth?
It's 1/100. Yeah. 1%. 1/10 of a liter for 10-liter sale is 1%. So then the Gemara asks, weiter, ech lasar b'lach ech lasar b'yavish, when we talked about, so 1/10 for lach is understood, 1%. 1/10 of the measure for 10 of them. And then it says that if it's dry measure, it's 1 for 20. What do you mean 1 for 20? Boy, Allah, the question is, is it echad me'asara belach, la'asara delach? So therefore, 1/10 of a liter for a liquid measure for a 10-liter sale, which is 1%. Ve'echad me'esrim be'yavish le'esrim be'yavish. So when it says 1/20 for dry measure, does that mean if you're selling 20 measures, and therefore, so 20 pounds, you would give 1/20 of a pound, which is actually 1 out of 400, am I right? Yeah. No, yeah, 20 out of 20. 1 out of 400th? Is that the pshat? Is it a 20th for 20? It'll be one. Am I right? 1 out of 400. Yeah, so it's 1/4%. Or maybe the 10th bit is right, but the esrim, the yavish. 1/10 of when you sell 20 of yavish, which would make it 1 out of 200. 0.5%. Teiku, too hard. Next, Amar Ablevi. The punishment for cheating on your measurements is worse than the punishment for illegal and illicit liaisons. Shazan Namar Bahan El, when it says when it talks about the punishment, by the measurements, it says Tayevesa El, if you do these abominations, then you're an abominable person. And it says by the arayis, by the illicit relationships also, but there it says Tayevesa Ela. It doesn't say the word ale. The buzz means these. But in Chumash, sometimes you have ale meaning these, and sometimes you have ale. So by the measurements, it says ale. By the women, it says ale. So therefore, what? Zen number an ale, Zen number an ale. Fred the Gemara, my mashma. So Who says that the ale, a high ale kosher, who says ale is epis stronger than ale? What's it mean? It's the same thing. We translate it as these. So he answered, the chsiv es ale ho aretz lokach. He took away the strong people of the land. So that was, he took, the new king came in as the Nevuah Yecheskel. So ale means the lashon of strong. Yeah, so therefore, as it calls it, toyev so ale, that's actually considered a stronger thing than arayus. Fred.
Sorry to interrupt. Did that someone in a red tarago?
Red tarago. Nobody here? Sorry.
It's on fire.
Gabi arayus nami. Gabi arayus nami. The question is that also, even when it talks about the illicit relationship, saksiv ale. It says also a less. So what are you telling me? No, I got myself mixed up again. I'm sorry, I got it completely backwards, and I should have said. What I should have said is that a le is worse because the hay, and then first of all you have ale, which means strong, and then an extra hay makes it even stronger. Yeah. So by the measurements it says a le, and by the women it says ale. But the question is that by the women it also says Eile. It's two psukim. One says Eile, one says Eile. So he says, Ahul emotemiris mikores. That's just telling you that these things were nichrasu. The pasuk that talks about kores, yeah, that is dafke, it says by the women, because that's where there's a chi of kores for adultery. There's no chi of kores if you cheated on your measurements, even though it's a nasty thing to do. Yeah. So when it says Eile by the women, what it's doing is telling you only these things is chayav koris, but if you just cheated on your measurements, you don't get koris. Yeah. So the question asks, why is it so? Abazoi, what are you telling me that the punishment of measurements is worse than the punishment of adultery? You just said that you get a, now you're telling me you get a, but you get koris for adultery, and you don't get koris for measurements. So it sounds to me like the punishment for adultery is worse. Yeah. So the elamayat fayu. So what's the big deal about the measurements?
You're doing somebody else.
Oh, the hasam efshe b'tshuva. The person had an affair. He can always do tshuva. The hachalay efshe b'tshuva. Once you, if you cheated, well, most of the time. But if you cheated on your measurement, well, you still do tshuva. You just have the mamzer maybe. But with measurements, if the measurements in your shop are corrupt, and you've had 5,000 customers come through and bought stuff, you've cheated. You don't even know who you cheated. So you can't give them back. Can't give him a refund. You're stuck. So that is why it's worse, because you can never do proper tshuva. Even though Rashbam points out you can use it for public purse, community service, blah blah blah, but you still never really pay back the person you stole from. Stealing from an individual is worse than stealing from God. When it talks about stealing from a person, it talks about a sin even before you have any benefit from it. The pasuk is. There's a pasuk somewhere, and it says, "Yeah, nefesh ki secheta uma lamal b'Hashem v'chichesh b'amisoy." When it comes to cheating your friend, the word chet comes before me'ila. That means you didn't even do me'ila; you didn't even have benefit from it. As soon as you stole it, you took it, you already have a sin. When it comes to hektish, when you take it, you're not chayiv from me'ila. You're only chayiv from me'ila when you benefit. So it actually takes longer. So the original act of stealing, you're more of a ganif when you steal from an individual than when you steal from God. Come and see that God is different from people. God blessed the Yidden with 22, all 22 letters of the alphabet. And he only cursed them with 8 letters. Where do we see he blessed them with 22? In the beginning of Parsha B'chukosai, that's brachas, it starts from the Aleph. And the last word of the brachas there is at kimimius, which finishes with a sof. So from aleph to tof, the brachas is from aleph to tof, all 22. Kill and bishmana, the curses is only 8, because ve'im b'chukaisa tim also starts with a vav. Arves chukaisa egal on nafshram ends with a mem. From vav to mem is only 8 letters. So that's how God is. So even when he's cursing, he's a bit kinder. Ve'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu berchem bishmana. Moshe Rabbeinu only gave them 8 letters of bracha, v'kilin b'asim b'shtayim, he cursed them with 22. Berachem b'shmeina, this is in Parshas Kisavai, which is the Teichacha that Moshe Rabbeinu said, top of the page. V'vahoyim shemaya tishma ad la'avdom, is from the Vav to the Mem. So there, the Brachas is from the Vav. Huh?
To the Lamed, no? A lot of them?
No, the Mem. From the Vav to the Mem, that's what they say on the side, no? From the Vav to the Mem, is there's eight letters. Akilam, Basim, Ishtam. When Moshe Rabbeinu's curses goes from Aleph to Tov, Vahayim Sha'im Loi Sishma, from the Aleph of Im Loi Sishma, Ad Ve'en Koine. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not saying good. From the Vav of Ahayim Loi Sishma till the Hay of Koine, he says from a Vav all the way around back to the Hay again is all 26 letters, so therefore that's not a good place to end. But so God's Brachas is 22. We'll finish on a good note.
On God's Brachas.